thank you very much for this opportunity to share some of my thoughts on the Sahel. The Sahel is a very lucky region in the sense that it's been studied and overstudied over decades now. So there's a huge knowledge base that we operate from. So many of the quick facts that I'm sharing, I'm sure, are familiar to the audience. We know that the although we have very many variations across communities and across borders, that generally speaking, in the Sahel, we have a very patriarchal culture where women and girls have low status, and their status is determined in relation to men and their marital status, and sometimes even their fertility status. And we know that there is very limited decision-making by women on the household level and family planning issues, as well as other other key domains. We have many social economic barriers to full participation and empowerment, including polygamy, early marriage, gender-based violence, and an overall lack of access to basic health and education services. As Mr. Benoit has already mentioned, there are a number of important demographic factors. And in addition to the high birth rates, we also have a high rate of male out-migration, which I'll discuss a little further on. But at the same time, we do have a lot of opportunities in that women are the traditional guardians of health and nutrition status on the household level. So how do we reinforce that to improve the overall status of the household? And they also play a prominent role in ag production and food security. One figure from Burkina Faso is that 36% of ag production is done by women. However, we're operating in a context of scarcity and insecurity. Even in normal times, these communities are living on the edge. And the Sahel experiences, as we've already seen, shocks on a regular and recurrent basis, most recently in 2012 with the food crisis. And there's also regional instability, such as the recent influx of Malians into Burkina and Niger and other neighboring countries because of the political situation in Mali. So the traditional coping mechanisms that we've seen have become either inadequate or overall exhausted. We know that ag production is highly gendered. Men and women work in different crops and different value chains. And even in the same value chain, such as millet, they have different roles. And in the same way, coping mechanisms are highly gendered. Men and women, girls and boys, respond differently to different kinds of shock. We do see that women bear the brunt in terms of the coping mechanisms that are employed at the community level. The first reflex is to sell household assets. And many of those assets traditionally belong to women, such as small ruminants, kitchen utensils, jewelry. So those are the first to go. Women are also in a position to exploit social and kinship ties as a response, either borrowing money or food from relatives and neighbors, or because this region has a long tradition of women's savings groups called tontines. That's another resource that women are able to tap into. Because women generally have low status and they often eat least and last, reducing food intake is also a coping mechanism that we've seen. And taking children out of school, saving on school fees. We already know that girls' education has a tenuous status in the region, so it's very easy to take girls out of school, especially when the parents don't see the eventual benefit of this investment. Male out-migration is something that we see on a regular basis, either to provincial or national capitals, or even to other countries such as Côte d'Ivoire. And even if they do migrate, the flow of remittances is often irregular or non-existent. In one sense, this is an opportunity because women are become de facto heads of households. But in another way, they're managing their households without the same resources and rights as men would have. And we've also seen an increase in forms of prostitution, transactional sex. You know, we've heard anecdotal evidence of women who have sex for a bar of soap or for half a kilo of millet. We also see that rates of early marriage increase. And this is a particularly interesting phenomenon because early marriage is not only a way to reduce your household size so you have one less person to feed, but it's also an injection of assets because the dowry is often pretty substantial, such as one or two head of cattle. And we do see in the most recent crisis that coping mechanisms have diversified. And again, this is tied into women's status as the guardians of health and nutrition. We see women setting aside larger portions of their harvest for the hungry season. We see more engagement in petite commerce, so more selling of small items so that there is a cash infusion of some sort to buy food, particularly food that's not locally grown. And we also see somewhat consumption of seeds. Women are often the managers of seeds, and we've seen that sometimes those are consumed as cereal instead of being saved for the next planting season. So with all these challenges, what are some of the things that we can do? In the Sahel programming that for USAID that Roger Mark has reviewed, we're trying to hit these issues from a number of different angles. The first is diversifying economic opportunities, not only reinforcing traditional activities such as petite commerce, but also helping women branch out into non-traditional livelihoods such as moringa. One group that we visited in Burkina Faso, which luckily was only a couple of hours from Ouaga, actually grew parsley in their kitchen gardens because they found that there was a real market niche with the restaurants and the Lebanese community in Ouaga for parsley. We want to promote women-friendly, climate-smart practices because we know that women do the majority of the work oftentimes. And land tenure is also an important issue, not only advocating for land tenure reform, but also reinforcing the tradition of granting women's groups access to land that's communally owned. So we want to make sure that that land is quality land and that women have long-term rights to it. We're also trying to promote behavior change programs for health, nutrition, and family planning, WASH, MCH, and the other priorities in the health sector. And we also want to make sure that women can even have the ability to go to the activities that we plan. And that can mean something as simple as organizing community-based trainings instead of trainings in the capital, and providing an extra hotel stipend so that the babysitter can come with a small child when women go to trainings. And because we've evolved from the women in development approach to the gender in development approach, we are really strongly committed to constructive male engagement. And one of the promising practices that we've seen in the Sahel is the École de Marie that UNFPA Niger has piloted and that we're now replicating in Burkina and in Niger, where men are organized in groups and they talk about important issues such as family planning and how to be a responsible father and what are the qualities of a good husband. And some of the changes that we are talking about are so simple and so basic, such as when we register families for activities, changing the title from head of household, who is usually male, to representative of the family. I mean, you're just changing the label, and yet you're opening up the door to much wider participation of women. And another important point that I like to convey too is sometimes it's important to ask the right questions. In a recent visit to Mali, I was talking to a group of women and asking them about the improved variety of millet that the village had just received the previous year, so they'd already gone through one planting and harvesting season. And I asked them, so what do you not like about this millet? Well, they said, it takes too long to cook. And that immediately set off bells for me, because if it takes too long to cook, that means that it takes more water and more firewood. So that has climate change implications because, of course, you know, those are natural resources, and also safety and security implications because it's normally women and girls who search for these resources, and when they're displacing themselves, they're often in a more vulnerable context. And lastly, I'd like to mention our Women's Empowerment in Ag Index, which many of you are familiar with. And in our resilience program, we are taking two of those domains in production and resources, measuring input in productive decisions and access to and decisions on credit. So that hits another of the couple of themes that my colleagues have discussed today. So I'd like to close by saying that we are building upon 30 or more years of investment and experience in the Sahel. And that experience leads to a lot of innovation, and it really is an exciting time to work in the region. And I look forward to today's discussions. Thank you very much.